Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
From CBS 8 and ABC 32, I'm Jalea Brooks. Alabama's first case of coronavirus was confirmed in Montgomery County earlier this morning. Health officials say the patient contracted the virus while traveling out of state. Montgomery has now canceled all city-sponsored events, including Saturday's half marathon, until further notice. Several local universities are switching to online classes to try and curb the spread of the virus. Troy University is offering online classes until April 6th. Auburn University and Auburn Montgomery are doing the same until April 10th. The Alabama Senate has approved a $5 million supplemental appropriation to the Department of Public Health for coronavirus testing and response. The additional funds will help increase the number of people being screened for the virus. Those are some of the stories we're following very closely this afternoon. For more on these stories and others, be sure to watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. From our Montgomery newsroom, I'm Jalea Brooks.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
It's cars, cuckoos, caffeine, canines, and consultations. Saturday, March 28th from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. at the Chantilly Parkway Shopping Center. Bring your cars, kids, and canines for a fun-filled afternoon. And the best antique car will get a prize. Beer and margarita specials from Cuco, plus 10% off your meal. Your daily dose of caffeine, a discount on teas and shakes, and a very special drink from New Wave Nutrition. Partners for Pets will be offering 10% off on mobile grooming coupons. And Earnest Financial will be there to help you with your financial future. So if your car is old or new, come out to the Chantilly Parkway Shopping Center Saturday, March 28th from 11 until 3. It's going to be lots of fun and admission is free. Cars, cuckoos, caffeine, canines, and consultation. Call 279-7431 for more information. Sponsored in part by Earnest Financial LLC.
Trustworthy, accurate, carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Friday, TGIF edition. Let's bring in our legislator of the day, Senator Will Barfoot. Will, welcome aboard.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me, Dan.
Well, let me tell the audience, Reed Ingram had another commitment he had to go to, so we have Will solo today. So let's talk about things going on in the House. Alabama Senate passes medical marijuana bill. Listen in.
Legislature this evening. The Senate has passed a medical marijuana bill, the vote 22 to 10. This bill would allow doctors to prescribe marijuana in various forms, like pills and creams. Smoking and vaping of marijuana would not be allowed, and only patients with certain medical conditions would be eligible. That bill now goes to the House for consideration.
So tell us about that. What do you think is going to happen with the bill over in the House? Who are your distribution centers with it? And did you vote for or against the bill?
Let me start off by answering the last question first. I voted for it. Last year it passed the Senate and died in the House. The bill was, we'll call it the medical marijuana bill. Was a little bit different last year, but it passed the Senate last year as well, died in the House, and I wish we had a House member here to kind of give us an update on what they thought would happen in the House. I have heard some discussions that it may not get through the House. We don't know. We'll see.
That was a pretty impressive vote on the Senate side.
Well, there were some passionate people on both sides of the equation. There were several things in there that I thought were helpful in the bill. That allowed me to vote for it. There were some things in there that I wish were taken out, and we'll see what happens in the House. But several amendments that were put on there. There is a defined list of of symptoms or conditions or diseases that you can treat through medical marijuana. We took out, stripped, there was an expansion language in there that allowed the commission to expand that list of diseases.
But you struck that, right?
We got that out of there. That if that would have been in there, I would have been a no vote on that.
What was the most questionable disease in your mind that was in that list?
You know, and not that I'm questioning fibromyalgia, but as I understand it from some doctor friends, is that sometimes...
You're going to see some severe cases showing up in
Alabama. Well, the good thing about this piece of legislation is, though, is that the marijuana is not the first treatment. It is after all other traditional medications or treatments have failed, even for those diseases, then the prescription for marijuana can be. So I thought that was important, but it's not a first step. It is a last chance.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, being a cancer survivor, you know, you're going through radiation and chemo and doing marijuana, that makes sense. I mean, you can pump poison in somebody, might as well let them have some pot if they want it. Reed Ingram's on the phone. How about that? Let's go to Reed. He wants to weigh in on this topic. Reed, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. Let's just let it round table.
I am so sorry I couldn't make it. We're doing a, all the proceeds today go to Down Syndrome at Sweet Creek. And so we've been pretty busy and it's been hard for me to get away. And I apologize about that. But
There's two reasons to get out to Sweet Creek then today. Number one, they've got some good foods, good prices on some things. And number two, if the proceeds go for a worthwhile purpose, that's a great reason to get out there and shop with Reed.
I tell you, we've seen some good people today. Thank you for that, Senator Barfoot. I don't know that we've got the votes in the House. I've got some concerns on the bill. Some of the things that it could go to is sleep disorder and some other things that I think it'd be great for cancer patients and people that really have a problem. I've got a sleep disorder, and I use an over-the-counter product. But I just think it's going to be too loosely distributed to too many varieties of illnesses, in my opinion. I'm probably going to bring an amendment to take the sleep disorder off. And I'm just concerned that if this is going to open Pandora's box as far as next year, we'll be able to, you know, have a bill to where they'll smoke it. And I just think that it's too much exposure to young kids. We've got so many problems with distributing pills as it is, and I just don't want this to add to the problem. But I do understand, and there are chemicals in pharmaceuticals, but there's over 600 chemicals in the chemicals when you smoke it, and I don't know about when you do it in the lotions and the,
but this does not include smoking, right?
It's
I know it does not include cream, smoking. Creams, no, it does not.
Creams, pills,
cream, oil,
or that's right. Cream, oil, and there cream. Was one other method of
like a nebulizer.
Nebulizer, like, yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Which was for esophageal cancer. Specifically.
Right. The cancer, I really get it. If it was just that, I wouldn't have a problem raising my hand. But you know, where we get loosely used in things like, you know, a mild sleep disorder, and you're going to have a doctor prescribe this. It's just too much exposure out there to where it could be misused.
Wait, let me ask you, who is carrying the bill in the House?
I don't remember who's carrying it. Mike Ball carried it last year, and there was discussion about it with the sponsor, but we had so many bills, to be honest with you. I don't look at those until they get in front of us, you know. But there is a sponsor already in the House. Mike has handed it off to somebody else. And it does have a little traction, but talking to some of the people on the floor, as well as some of the lobbyists that are helping with this, that they were struggling to get all of the votes in the House so far.
Well, maybe y'all can tighten it up, Reed. And by, when I say tighten it up, I mean, you know, the possibility of sleep disorders coming out. And that was some concern. Right. But, you know, there was an amendment that, you know, to add PMS in there. I don't think that was in the committee's recommendation. That was a last-minute amendment by another senator. And so...
Was that put in there?
It was. Yep. So
it was.
Yeah, we're feeling my PMS coming on.
Well, maybe you can tighten that up. And I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying I was unaware of any medical testimony or evidence to a great degree that would, you know, that we should put it in there. But anyway, that amendment was in there. But maybe y'all can tighten it up a little bit and look at a couple of those diseases.
I think if we were to have a couple of have that amendment anyway and bring it back to y'all, I don't think it'd have any problem passing. But I want to make sure it's going to the people that need it, not the people that want it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. 100% agree with that.
Let me ask you, Reed, while I have you on the phone, hopefully you can stay with us for a little while. What other things are happening over in the House that we need to know about?
You know, of course, the gun, the lifetime permit we talked about last time. I think it's coming to y'all first, or it's already passed y'all, hasn't it, Will?
It is passed the Senate committee. It is not on the floor. My understanding is that it will stay where it's at. Maybe both of those bills stay where they're at until it comes out of your committee, if it comes out of the House committee. So
it's going to be amended. I think the age on it is going to be amended. And I think that what I hear also has got an amendment coming to where it would leave it with the locals instead of Aaliyah. And I'm good with those amendments.
I think the Sheriff's Association is working with the sponsors. That's my understanding, that they are negotiating and trying to put some better or different language in there that would make everybody happy. So we'll see what comes out of it.
And I'm thinking, and Senator Barthwick may be the same way, you know, it depends on how this corona grows and affects. They're going to be off for 2 weeks. We're going to be off for like a week and a half. We go back in on Wednesday for committee meetings, Wednesday week. If it's still a red flag alert, I would say that we would probably work on the budgets as fast as we could to get those done, to make sure we're, and then concentrate on the side stuff. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's, I haven't heard any real discussion about that, but I would just say from a planning standpoint, you know, you've got to take care of the budgets. That's the only thing that we're mandated to do. Let's go ahead and address the budgets as soon as we can in case, you know, whether reality or frenzy, we decide to shut down. And, you know, I know, Dan, you probably agree, Joey probably, and I'm sure you do, Reed, as well. Sometimes, or most of the time, less government's better government. So let's get out of there. If we can get out of there, we don't have to. We're not there just to pass bills just because they're there. So
it's amazing. You two just read my mind. That was going to be the next question I was going to ask, is that, what is Corona's effect on y'all's legislative session, and what's the effect of visitors coming into the chamber or coming into the building?
Well, we met with Dr. Harris on Wednesday at our caucus meeting, and no permanent plans or definite plans were.
You know, y'all could bar the public.
Right, and that's one of the things that we had talked about. One of the options were, and I think leadership is working on that. But you know, if we've got a member that's had problems or a member's family that had problems, they could be exposed, then I think it's a deeper step than that. But I think the first step would probably take in the public and the and lobbyists out. But then we still have employees that have to keep the machine running, you know, and all that. So it's just a day by day. I don't want to speculate because I don't want to throw anybody in a tailspin and lobbyists say, hey, we're going to cut them out. They're tools to us. They're a resource to us. A lot of people may not understand what the resource is, but they bring a lot to the table on both sides. Don't you agree, Senator Barfoot?
I do, and you know, from the lobbyist standpoint, you know, for every lobbyist in most cases that is for a bill, there's a lobbyist that's against a bill, and so from that standpoint, you know, you get to hear both sides of the equation or let you think about something you wouldn't have thought about.
What are those predictions about finishing the session early because of Corona?
I'd like to do whatever is going to warrant us to be safe and keep the public safe, whatever that takes. But I'm with Senator Barfoot. We need to make sure that we take care of our essential business first, and I'm okay with getting out of there. And less government and is the same way. I mean, we don't need a lot of these laws passed. A lot of these bills, I think we've got over almost 500 bills in the House already, and I would say that we're not very many of them that would hurt the not to pass.
Would you agree? How many people were in the gallery yesterday?
In the Senate gallery?
We
had a lot of people in. Well, in the Senate gallery, it was pretty full early on. The debate went on for 4 or 5 hours. I don't know how long exactly, but people started to leave after that. So,
Reed, how about in the House side?
we were pretty full all day long. We had a lot of visitors come in from out of town, some chamber people and some other people, elected officials from other municipalities and some school people. And even had some kids up here. I would say we stayed full 90% of the time.
Well, with what they're talking about doing in school, the number of sixth graders that are going to be coming down to do their annual tour, which is normally this time of the year, to see you guys, that's going to diminish greatly.
Yeah, you would think
I would think so. I would think so.
I hate it for the kids because that's a great experience.
It really is. But,
and I hope they bring them back next year as sixth graders and also bring the fifth graders, you know, where they all have the opportunity.
Well, seeing the fullness of time, as they say, let's talk about budgets. Where are we in the budget world?
To be honest with you, I'm not on the committee, so I hadn't seen a whole lot. I'm not on the general fund, and are on the education. So I don't know what's going on with it. Hadn't come out of committee yet, as we all know. It's still making the sausage in the room. Steve Klaus does a good job. I trust him and trust most of the members on there to be conservative, and I think that even what's going on now may tighten us up a little bit more for a little better reserve, I hope, and that's the way I would hope. And if it gets to the floor, maybe we can bring an amendment if there's not that way, to where we can put back a little reserve. We got more revenues than we've had in history because of these upcoming of the
Watch it, don't say occupational tax.
I know.
SSUT.
We don't want
I had Clyde on last week, and he said that his reserve portion of this seems to be taking hold out there.
Yeah, I've heard some discussion about that, and I think, you know, certainly Senator Chambliss knows more about that issue, I think, than anybody, at least in the Senate, says Bill. He's sponsoring it and done a lot of research on it, but from what I understand, that's a pretty good bill. You know, you don't have to spend it just because you have it.
There you go. Let me do this. Ray, can you hang on for me?
Sure, yes, sir.
Let me go to a break. Coming back, Dan Moore Show, right after this.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name.
You're listening to the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Like the singing bird and the croaking toad, I've got a name. I've got a name.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Shop the best sale of the season. Save 25 to 75% on hundreds of gift items, home decor ideas, and floral supplies. Join us Saturday, March 21st for designer demos and music by Brian Brantley. Refreshments, door prizes, and door busters available. Don't miss our spring open house, March 19th through 21st, for huge savings on our already low outlet prices. Your best deal can be found at Cafco Outlet, Montgomery's favorite outlet store, located on the Wetumpka Highway.
If you ever work in the downtown area and need vehicle maintenance, C-Square Performance Automotive is now open, servicing vehicles from the high end to the low end, from brakes to motors and transmissions, oil changes, and more. C-Square can handle it, including all brands of tires. We offer financing options, including no credit check financing. If you work or live in the downtown area, stop in and see Chris Bowers, Master Automotive Diesel Mechanic, Duke Jones, Heather Walker, and Ricky Adams. C-Square offers free pickup and delivery in the downtown area. You will trust us, and your car will love us. C-Square Performance Automotive, 715 Madison Avenue.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage.
And I'm Madeline Cannon, and we understand what it means to serve. As children of military veterans, we are committed to providing our service members with the very best mortgage rates and experience.
Our community is full of veterans that would benefit from a VA interest rate reduction refinance loan, IRRL for short. For those veterans who currently have a VA loan, this program is reserved exclusively for you.
We can lower your rate and lower your payment with no appraisal or income documentation required. You'll even skip a month payment, maybe two.
An Army veteran purchased a home in Pike Road just over a year ago. We were able to drop her interest rate over a point and save her $418 a month with a VA interest rate reduction loan. Folks, if you have a VA loan, you owe it to yourself to pick up the phone.
Call Alabama Home Mortgage today at 567-4223 or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com. Call Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies.
NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228. That's where we are on a Friday. A question, comment, and viewpoint for our representatives here, Senator Will Barfoot and Representative Reed Ingram on the line with us. Gentlemen, let's talk about prisons. A lot of vicious rumors going on. Now, you're in the contract committee, and have they talked to you guys at all about trying to do some kind of contract with the prison system, or are they just going to send it over and say, you know, do it, and if not, all you can do is delay it for 45 days and screw you?
Well, no specific within the contract review committee, which is a bipartisan, bi-house committee. No specific talks with that committee. I'm sure there have been members, most likely, on that committee. I'm trying to think who else on there who've had discussions about it. I know Senator Chambliss has been very involved. He's on a panel that was appointed by the governor,
right,
to review everything. So, I think Connie Rowe out of the House is on there as well. So we've got some good folks looking at the possibilities of new prisons, where they may be, and how we're going to go about getting those done.
So where are both of you on the scene? Do you think that using the Staten property and getting a waiver for that and building it on Staten property, is that the way to go in both of y'all's opinions?
In my opinion, I think that's the only way to go. I mean, we don't have to worry about the public outcry. They don't want it next to them, like the one happened, like they were trying to do in Tallahassee. I think that would be the only way to get this thing done in the time fashion that we need to get it done. And it only makes sense. When the state owns a property, why not build on it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, it can't be used for anything else.
I agree with Reed on that. You need community buy-in, and the land that the state owns in West Elmore County, prisons have been there for years and years, and obviously the folks over on that side of the county, I don't represent that side of the county, but have been generally fine with it. I mean, they've been living next to a couple of prisons over there. The infrastructure's in place. The state owns the land. And to me, that seems like the most logical choice, financially as well as, what the public would want.
Let's talk about the financial component of this. Whenever somebody in government says, well, we're going to pay for this through savings, that always concerns me. The good news, it also concerns Clyde Chambliss, which is kind of a point person on this thing. Do you see that this is going to mean that we're going to need some extra money, some type of bond float to kind of start this with?
I don't see that savings will pay for it. I mean,
when somebody at DOC told me that, I said,
I think, will there be some savings? My understanding, probably so. You might have to have less guards because of the line of sight and the way the new prisons are set up. So electronic monitoring, maybe more so than what you've got now. And so will there be some savings? Yes. Will it pay for the whole thing?
No.
I think anybody that tells you that's living in a fairy tale world. But there will be some
savings. Some DOC employees are like that.
Well, I think there are a lot of good. You think about this: when you have, one or two guards that are watching 100+ inmates,
right.
I mean, that's a pretty dangerous situation in open barrack areas. And so, I think part of DOC's problem has been trying to find enough good quality individuals to put in there, and then when you find good quality individuals that work for DOC, I'm outnumbered, 100-1. And if I want to go home that night, maybe I turn my head and look the other way for something. I mean, that's a tough thing to ask somebody to do. So we allocated $40 million extra last year for DOC to hire some other correctional officers. I understand that they are graduating some and hiring some, so that should help. If there is some savings for building new prisons, then maybe we can continue to hire some good COs. So.
Reed, how say you? Are you for using the Staten property?
I tell you, I don't think that we're going to save. We built that jail in Montgomery County, and the powers to be, I guess, the architects and the advisors and everybody said, hey, you're going to save money. You need to do this. This is, you're going to be able not to have to add to your budget. Well, matter of fact, our budget grew not only having to add, I mean, not saving, but we grew it. And it's probably, I don't know where it is now. I'm not a commissioner anymore, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was double. We had more people. Nothing to do with the sheriff. Wasn't his fault. Wasn't nothing to do with Cunningham. They do an excellent job, but it's just the fleas that come with the dog, you know. It's you have a bigger facility, you're going to have to fill it up with more people. And just because you've got less workers, you're going to have more inmates. I mean, that's the whole thing, is to be able to spread these inmates out in a smaller amount of facilities. So you're putting more in there. You definitely, your utilities are going to go up. You may save on, like, Senator Barfoot said, you're going to save a little bit, but for what you're having to build, you're building a lot bigger facility, and you're not going to see a whole lot of saving when you're building that big of a facility. It's just, you've got to have workers, you've got to have utilities, you've got to have all the other stuff that comes with it, and you're growing. You've got some outdated utilities and stuff in there as far as using more water and use more power and use more gas, but you're going to build twice or three times a bigger facility. You're going to have to have more money to it. And I just, I don't know that we're not going to be able to have to go to the bond issue, to be honest with you. I don't know. I know that we've got to look at this thing to where it's going to be a 30 or 40 year fix or 50 year fix instead of, you know, we need to mop. We don't need to mop the floor. We need to fix the leak. We've got a problem.
I like that. Let me do that. I'm going to come back to go to a break and come back on education, doing the teachers' retirement change that they're talking about, pay increases. We'll be back with Senator Will Barfoot, Representative Reed Ingram, right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
When you make the decision to sell your home, what should you look for in a real estate agent? Someone who communicates well with you? An agent who is engaged from start to finish? One with experience, knowledge, and proven results?
We're Paul and Christy Miller with Wallace and Moody Realty, and we can promise you all that and more. If you need to buy or sell a house, please call Paul or Christy today at 399-7648 or visit our website at skipzillowcallmillow.com to get a copy of our 21-point marketing plan.
Remember, for all your real estate needs, skip Zillow, call Millow.
Hey, have you heard about what's happening at Wind Creek Casino and Hotel?
No, but I've heard it's the coolest casino and hotel ever.
Well, now, if you join Wind Creek Rewards, they'll reimburse you with free play for up to $1,000.
They'll give me back as much as $1,000?
I know, right? They call it the new player promise, and they'll also throw in some free food so we don't go hungry.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go to Wind Creek Casino and Hotel.
New members only. Minimum $75 loss required. Visit windcreek.com for complete rules.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents... And Doug.
Limu, when we're not telling people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need, I've actually been moonlighting as a DJ.
What?
Check it! Here's the good part!
Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
This is Frank Bertarelli. We'd like to take time out to thank Blue Water Broadcasting for their years of help in growing our business. Over 25 years with Zap Pest Control and still growing thanks to Blue Water Broadcasting.
Radio advertising is the only word of mouth you control. It adds credibility, creates emotional response, and attracts new customers. Find out how Blue Water Broadcasting can grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox
News, I'm Mary Corsetti. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin speaking about domestic travel and airlines as the coronavirus worsens.
I'd be perfectly comfortable getting on a commercial plane this weekend. Despite the fact that we've told people to shut down travel a little bit, people can travel in domestic U.S.
More than 31,000 runners signed up to take part in the Boston Marathon this spring. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh speaking to the press after it was announced that it would be postponed until September 14th.
Our expectation, and it's an expectation and a hope right now, is that this date will get us to a safer place in relation to the spread of the coronavirus. It's a date that the BAA can make work for their runners.
There are roughly 132,000 confirmed cases of the coronavirus worldwide. There are at least 41 confirmed deaths in the United States. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by JB Windows and Siding, powered by Jones Brothers Roofing.
Quality, beauty, value, and more. JB Windows and Siding has what you're looking for.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We're into an extended stretch of very warm days and very mild nights. Today, a risk of some scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm, but not every town will get one. High today in the upper 70s, low tonight around 60. Tomorrow and Sunday, highs in the low 80s both days. Spotty isolated showers are possible, but many towns will stay dry. Still warm Monday and Tuesday, upper 70s. Rain chances will be small. Pollen count in the medium high to high range right on through the upcoming weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Are you strapped for cash but need a car right now? No problem. Get an auto loan from ASE and make no payment for 90 days. Apply online or visit a branch today. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Terms and conditions apply. Equal opportunity lender.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Will Barfoot, Senator, Reed Ingram, Representative in the House, talking legislative roundtable. Let's talk about the situation with education. A pay raise for the teachers?
I think the governor had proposed a 3% increase to teachers, and we'll see how much traction that gets. I suspect there will be an increase in teachers' pay. You know, for years I think they were pretty dormant.
But they had a raise in 2017, 2018, and now 2020. Yeah, the composite of that's like a 9.6%.
Yeah, I knew it was over 9 in those cumulative years, but. I am all for paying our teachers. I want them to be ahead of the curve. I also want to make sure that we have the best teachers, not just the most well-paid teachers. So I think that's important.
How do you have the best teachers when you have a tenure system like we do?
Well, that's going to be a topic of discussion coming up. So
you think I might break tenure?
I don't know. We'll see. I think there will be, as I said, there will be some discussions about that.
Reed, how say you?
Well, I think we, you know, it's very important to our future to have good educators. And I think that a raise is entitled, but I think, you know, I think it ought to be something in return. They're putting out a good product, but I wouldn't, and I know I'm going to have some rocks thrown at me for what I'm fishing to say.
Nobody ever throw a rock at you,
really. I don't know. I would really encourage us going to a system like Georgia's got and doing a testing. And then the only way we can turn out a good product is to have a good product. And then give these teachers a raise that passed the test, the evaluation. And to have it done every other year or every year. I think Georgia may do it every other year. And then if they don't pass, give them a little time. They can come back and take it again. But after so many years, maybe 2 or 3 years, then we'd have to, the tenure would have to go away on that. And if they can't pass the test, there's no need to have them in the classroom.
Now, I like that. Now, that's the first time I've heard that. So you're saying put tenure, but put it with a test.
Put it with a test.
That's a great idea.
Put the pay raise with a test. Put the pay raise with a test, put tenure with a test.
That's a great idea. Brilliant, Reed. Brilliant. How about taking retirement early and still working, doing kind of a mini drop program for teachers who've been in the system, I think it's for 20 years or 30 years? 30 years.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that would be a huge win-win. We don't have to pay the benefits and all the other stuff that comes with it. They're good teachers. They've been there for a long time. They know how to put the product out. I think that would be it. I would support that.
You know, teachers are like lawyers or any other profession. You got good ones and bad ones. We need to incentivize the good ones, make them stay, pay them better, and the ones that aren't up to par and not doing the best that.
That's always been the problem, though, with the education system. We just had this discussion yesterday. Dr. Richardson said we're going to move all the people in the MPS central office out into the schools, and they put it down on paper, and then they moved them all back into the central office.
Well, you talking about MPS, or are you talking about statewide?
I'm talking about MPS, but I'm giving you an example of what happens. Let's do this. Let's go to the phones, and let's go to Randall on prisons. Randall, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. You're on with Senator Will Barfoot and Reed Ingram.
Man, yeah, I went to prison, but that's going to be a heck of a test because I see some age gaps in the teachers. I ain't know who's going to sit down and come up with that one. You being discriminatory against me. But on the prisons, if you don't put them back in Elmore, and even when, like, it's shut down, I guess it's pretty much halfway going now, or maybe even shut down now. How does that water bill, I mean, that water system over there, that money just went away, but they still got the same amount of people working. Did they have to go back and raise their prices? And if you don't put the prison there, is that something they're looking at? Did y'all subsidize? I mean, that's a lot of money just all of a sudden be stopping, you know. Like you said, they've been prepared for that, been living there, you know, prison been there for years and years and years, and all of a sudden now you ain't using, you know.
We get the question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd say over where the prisons are at and the infrastructure's there, that you would certainly adversely affect those folks who are on the same water. The individual citizens and small businesses, their rates would increase if that prison were not there to help provide or take in some of that water and meet some of the costs that's there.
What they do basically, Randall, is they take all the people that are on the circuit and they divide the expenses by the number, and the prisons pay a big chunk of that money.
A disproportionate amount, I would say. And so you're going to raise, for those folks who are already getting that service, water service, even I'm sure electrical services, that would adversely affect those folks if that prison moves. So.
And even sewer as well.
Yep, sewer.
Thanks, Randall. Okay.
Sorry about that, guys. I had to set the phone down for a minute. I had to go take care of somebody. But anyway, I'm back.
We were talking about prison. There was a prison question there, but that's okay. Okay, we're going to bring in John DeVoe. Are you too familiar with John DeVoe?
I've heard Mr. DeVoe.
Okay, let's bring in John DeVoe. John, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. You're on with Senator Will Barfoot, Representative Reed Ingram.
Hello to everybody that's there. Peace and blessings to you. There's one of the things that Montgomery Board of Education is doing is the ad valorem tax to try to raise more money for the schools. But if that fails, I've suggested, and what I'd like to see the state do is raise the minimum on the millage from the minimum from 10 meals to maybe 20 or 25 or 30. Because there are some county systems that's the only way that those systems millage would ever get raised is if they were forced to do it by the state. And so I'd like you to address that issue, a constitutional amendment, you know, raising that minimum from 10 meals to, you know, at least 20 or 25 or 30 or whatever it needs
Whoa.
To be.
Man.
To whatever it needs to be to get enough money for these schools to be able to.
Let me let them answer the question. Thanks for the telephone call.
Well, I'll start off. I represent five school districts. Montgomery, MPS, Crenshaw County, Elmore County, Tallahassee, and Pike Road. And it is true that Montgomery, MPS, Montgomery County Public School Systems, has the minimum millage rate required by law, 10 meals. They're not alone, though. Other school systems around the state are at that minimum. But that's not the full picture. When you start counting state and federal money, and I was a little bit surprised. I actually started to do some research several weeks ago on this very issue. MPS is the highest funded per child school system that I represent. Of 138 school districts, Elmore County is 136.
But that's because of the title programs that they have. It's
because of some federal money that comes in.
Pike Road, but money is money. Money is money.
Pike Road is 131st. Even though we have local millage rates at 24 mills?
It may be 20, maybe higher than that.
Now, to be fair, and this was something that was brought up in the past week, even though MPS students have a higher per pupil expenditure, more money per child, there are some of that money is segregated, that federal money can only be spent on certain things. Then you look at buildings. Elmore County, I think, has 14 school buildings with about 12,000 kids, give or take. I think MPS has about 50 schools with about 28,000 kids. And so while there is a need, and no doubt about that, for some improvements on the buildings in MPS, we've actually got a couple of the finest schools buildings around. I mean, look at Carver, look at Park Crossing. I mean, there is some needs for some school improvement, but when you have 50 schools, and I think that's the number for 28,000 kids, you look at other systems that that have more kids in each school, it may be that you can correct some of those problems by getting rid of some of those schools.
Is Tallahassee the only school district within Elmore County that's in your district?
Yes, Tallahassee and Elmore County school system. So those are the only; those are the two, okay. And I represent both of those.
Okay, Reed, how say you?
So we're under the MPS is under state intervention because of finances, not because of academics, by no means. So I think that we've been really heavy on the administration side, and I think Senator Barfoot said, I think we've got a lot of schools out there. We're losing kids, not because of the condition the buildings are in. Lamp was in the worst building and probably in the system at one time and had the best school and one of the best schools in the nation.
Bowen the same way.
I don't think bricks and mortar are the answer, even though I think it's very essential that we do have a good environment and a safe environment that they're in. We in Montgomery County have 10 mills, as we all know. But that 10 mills, what the county, when I was with the county and what the county's still doing in the city and the state, is doing so much for economic development. We brought, Hyundai in, HHI in, Mobis in, just to name a few of the big ones. And, the Hyundai building may be appraised. I don't know what it's appraised. I'm using this for a hypothetical figure, maybe $1 billion. So you look at all the build out in Montgomery, and I'd much rather have the 10 mills here than I would be have, even if Pike Road was at 25 or 30, I'd much rather have the 25 or 30 in Pike Road or Elmore County, then I'd much rather have the 10 mills in Montgomery County than I would either one of those counties, because we've got so much like East Chase and so much to build out in Montgomery, so many houses that we're collecting the mills on. So it's a volume thing, and it's just not that figure on the 10 mills that we're collecting. Montgomery County Commission implemented a 1 cent sales tax, which generates close to $30 million a year to go to schools. And that's not even talked about, so that's a huge number to go to schools. And you're looking at 80,000 per year on a bond issue. Look at what that $30 million could do to a bond issue. So you could borrow a lot of money now. And the thing about it, even if we raise the mills, which, I'm not saying it doesn't need it. I just think that some things, house cleaning needs to be done first, get out of state intervention and show us the due diligence that you can handle the money, instead of the state having to take you over because of your money. I think that they don't have a good bond rating at this time. So the county and the city would have to go in either or and do an authority with them and do a bond issue. So their bond rating is real poor. If people that don't understand, that means it's really not a good credit score if you compare it to that.
Yeah.
So it would have a high risk on that. But so I just think that, with everything going on with the corruption on the 700 is not finished. There's other ones that are going to come out. Like Senator Barfoot, we were talking the other day, there's only 5 out of 50 schools that were looked at.
In only 1 year.
And so I would encourage them to go and look at all this and bring it out and come out to the public and say, hey, we're cleaning this up. This is not a black eye. This is a new day. And treat it like that and do it as good PR on it. I think if we get past that, I think we get past, the getting out of state intervention, I would think that would be the time we could raise our hand. But if you take it to the CA, to the vote of the people, then if it doesn't pass, they say that it would be hard for the next 10 years to get it passed. Because if you do it one time, is your best time. Your first time is your best time.
There you go. Reed, I hate to interrupt you, but I have to do a drawing for the best giveaway in the River Region, the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. Joey, take it away.
Time is of the essence.
Hey, let Will draw it. He's okay.
He's
doing a good job.
He's going to do it. Here we go. Will's reaching his hand in there. He's got it. Hand it to Joey.
Well, thank you for that, Senator Barfoot. And the winner is Grady.
Grady,
call us.
Grady, give me a call at 272-9228 so I can hook you up with the best gift in the River Region Sweet Creek Farm Market. Gentlemen, I'm going to go to a break. Coming back, final segment.
Hey, I've got to go, guys.
Okay.
Thank you all so much. I've got to get back.
Thanks, Reed. Thank you, Reed. Going to be back right after this.
To be the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACD. He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
A1 Plumbing.
Listen, I need a plumber over here right now.
Let's see. We could get to that in about 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Look, I was installing a new toilet and the water line broke. Now I'm standing in about 3 feet of water and it's still rising fast.
Uh-huh.
But look, I'll give you $50 extra if you can send someone right now.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Okay, $100, but you need to get here right now.
All right, keep your shirt on. What's that address?
I'm at 3301 Center Avenue. It's a block from the door.
Must have changed his mind.
Whether your problem is big or small, Cole Plumbing can fix it right, usually the first time and as economically as possible. With our experienced and background-checked employees, we take pride in knowing that we are one of the most trusted companies in the area. When there is trouble with your bowl, call on Cole, 279-8919, or go to coleplumbing.com.
Get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV. To Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV. We'll be fighting in the
streets with our children. 272-9228, that's where we are. Who's that winner?
Grady.
Grady, you need to give me a call.
He's on.
Grady, oh, he is on. See, it didn't have glasses on, but guy. Grady, congratulations on winning this weekly Farm Market Gift Basket.
I can't believe it. That's that was the first time I'd ever called a radio station in my life the other day. I got my two chances. I know old Reed Ingram.
Well, I'm sorry Reed had to drop off the line, but you better go down and see him. Did Joey get his your information?
Yeah, just texted it to you.
And he's sending that to me, and I'm going to send it down to Reed, so you head down to Sweet Creek Farm Market and have a great time.
Hey, Grady.
I asked you to do one thing for me, Grady. And that is, after you do it, give me a call next week and tell me how it was and what you got.
I must be good luck, Grady, at drawing your name, you know.
There you go. You owe Will Barfoot.
I know Barfoot's, too.
I kind of question Grady's character. He knows too many people. Grady, thanks for this telephone call, buddy, and thanks for being a good winner here.
Okay, I appreciate you.
Thanks. Thank you. Let's go to John for a question. John, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, thank you very much. Yeah, the question I have is, as I look at my property tax bill every year, you know, I'm trying to reduce it. I turn 65, and of course, you know, you can take off your state taxes. But there's this little thing on here called AMD-778. And it's on every tax bill. It's on there. I look it up, and I can't really find a lot of information about it. But if you go to some of the school budgets, you see that AMD-778 in their budget. Now, Montgomery County doesn't show it at all. Elmore County does, as an income coming to the school systems. What is AMD-778? Isn't it a school tax or what?
I'm going to guess that it's an amendment that was passed.
Yeah, and I will get off in an area if I try to if I tell you what I think. First of all, I'm not sure it's right. There are two buckets of money, at least I think, in Elmore County. Do you live in Montgomery?
Well, I have property in Montgomery, but I live in Elmore County.
All right. Do you see that AMD 778 on your tax bill in Elmore County?
Yes.
But not in Montgomery. But
not in
right?
Montgomery.
No, and Montgomery. You know, I see them both.
Well, I don't know the answer to that then.
We're going to find out for you, though. How about that?
Yeah, I'd appreciate it. Because it's, you know, if it's going to school systems, and of course, school systems are asking for more money, you know, what are they doing with what they get? You know, that's the big question.
I'm on it, my friend. I'm texting somebody right now that hopefully can give me an answer to that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I found an article from WSFA from last year, and it says here, a quote from somebody talking about a new amendment to raise mills. It says, we are currently using 778. That is a state-mandated amendment that fills the gap we currently have with our 10 mills of property tax.
Oh, okay. That's it.
But was that in reference to Elmore County?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's any county. Yeah, that's right. I remember that. It's any county that's below the 10 can put Amendment 778 in, and they can automatically raise the tax for it. Because I was thinking Elmore County's is at 10% also.
Yeah, there was just a special election, it seems like, or maybe not a special, but dealing with that property tax issue up in Elmore County, and I think there was just trading one money for another. It didn't increase property taxes in Elmore County, but just out of one bucket rather than the other.
Tell me what your schedule is going to be next week. You only have a one-day of session?
No session next week.
No session in the weekend?
I'll be in a courtroom and at the office, law office.
Only if they're holding court.
Only if they're holding court, that's right, which is subject to change hour by hour now. So,
no legislative session for the Senate side next week or the week after, right?
That's correct. Now, the House is out, I believe, next week, and
they're the ones that only have one day.
I think they're meeting one day the following week.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So, what's possibly can come down the pike that we need to be worried about?
Well, I laugh because, you know, every bill up there, you need to have some degree of skepticism or worry about. Not necessarily worry on these, but I think we're going to be addressing prisons. We're going to be addressing some possible education bills that are out there. Those are two big lifts. You know, obviously we need to soon to be mandated probably by the federal courts to address the prison issue, and you know the scores we have for kids through the school system pretty much mandates we address education. So those are two big things, and then obviously we've got the budgets coming. So
let me quickly go back to prisons. When do you think you'll see something on prisons from the governor?
I don't believe that the proposals from
they're not going to be ready in time.
My understanding, and I could my date could be wrong. I think it's the end of April. So we're going to be late in the session before we see anything, if we see something.
Do you see her calling a special session for that?
It's always a possibility. Certainly, I think something that has to be addressed, and we're running short on time, so wouldn't surprise me if that happened.
Particularly, we have the corona aspect to this.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, you know, sometimes the best government is the least government. So
yeah, let me tell you, Nothing personal at all. I'm all for you guys going home.
My wife wouldn't mind it either. So.
I like that. We didn't kind of wrap up the thing on the teachers and the pension where they can take their pension early, but coming out of the RSA system plus their salary, you kind of mentioned that that would save money in some way. Maybe Reed did.
That's probably Reed. There's a tier two fix or tweak of tier two retirements as it relates to teachers, and I'm supportive of specifically one of the areas that I've heard that's in there, and I don't know that the bill's been dropped yet, but it allows teachers to carry over sick leave days. I think that makes sense if you're not using.
Well, this is actually retiring early and paying them for their retirement plus their salary.
Well, but there's in the tier two, call it fixed retirement or tweak of the tier two retirement. That's one of the aspects in there as it relates to sick days because they can't carry over sick days. So what do people do when they have sick days? They burn them if they can't make money. So you're actually paying the teacher for them. You're hiring a substitute to come in. You're expending more money and the classroom time is probably not as good with the fill-in teachers than it would be the regular teachers. So
just for the audience, the stock market from where the president started speaking went crazy and was now up 1,667 points.
Bye.
So the roll-off of the tape is, he wants his portfolio to go.
That's right. I'm asking Dan questions on the break. I mean, he's my free advisor.
That's what I do. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show, my friend.
Good show.
I want to thank you for being here. You're very good.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Look forward to it. So.
Well, and what we'll do is I'll text you on our new schedule since you two are off. You and Clyde are off for 2 weeks, basically. And we come up with something else. And I think Good Friday is the next day that it would hit, and we do a kind of a special on Good Friday. But we'll come up with something. Will, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Joey, again, thank you for a great show. Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back Monday at 12 o'clock. I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right. Joey Clark is sitting in for the one and only Greg Budell. What if he doesn't come back?
Well, I guess it's Joey doing 9 hours a day every day then.
Joey, have a great weekend. Will, have a great weekend. Adios.
Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center. This is WACV Coosada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
Fox News, I'm Mary Corsetti. President Trump.